Our role is based on what Congress told us to do in 2007 legislation, which is to adopt standards on the interoperability of the smart grid. In other words, how these devices communicate with each other to make sure that the system of sending electricity to consumers is done more efficiently and more effectively. The job first goes to NIST, and then they, once they come up with the standards, send them to us for adoption.
And that would be the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Thank you. Correct. And
so this is an expansion of the role of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission from what it's done for years and years.
Traditionally, yes. And it's a little bit sensitive because much of the smart grid will affect retail consumers, and they are typically protected and regulated by state commissioners. We're more of the wholesale regulators of the United States in terms of electricity and natural gas. So we are we have to be very cognizant of stepping on the toes of our colleagues at the state level, and yet Congress did tell us to adopt these standards, so it is our job to do so. Once we have what the statutory language is, sufficient consensus behind them.
Okay, so the smart grid will have interoperability standards. I guess maybe we should back up and talk about what the smart grid itself is designed to do,
right,
other than simply deliver power from point A to point B.
Ultimately, the smart grid means a couple of things. At the wholesale level, the bulk power system that most people don't even care or think about unless there's a blackout, it's allowing that system to communicate better so that we can hopefully see problems in advance to prevent blackouts. What most people think of, I think, in the smart grid is that perhaps there's a device in their utility room or somewhere on the outside of their house that manages their power consumption in a more efficient manner. In other words, most people, again, don't realize it, but electricity varies greatly in its price at certain times of the day and the year. There are 100, 200 hours a year where it is very, very expensive, but right now most people don't recognize it because they're paying a flat rate and they pay for it a month after they use it. The smart grid idea is that if you get consumers, frankly, empowered to see the effects of their consumption, that they will consume it in a more efficient way. Perhaps they can shift some of their demand to what times we call off-peak. And as a society, we benefit because we'll have to build fewer power plants and fewer power lines to get the power to them.
And just talking about FERC itself, in order to be able to look at standards, to enforce them, to evaluate them, what kind of staff resources does FERC need that it might not have needed before just to carry out this new mission?
We will, in this case, rely a lot on what the National Institute of Standards and Technology sends to us, but we will definitely need to ramp up our staff in terms of our expertise, because this is not typically what we do. We are regulators at the wholesale level of electricity and gas and hydroelectric dams, but essentially going through very technical standards on how devices communicate with each other is just, again, not in our normal course of responsibilities.
So it feels like FERC itself is kind of on new ground as a federal entity and as a federal operational agency.
We are, and we're excited about the prospect, but again, we need to be careful to make sure that we don't step on the toes of our state colleagues.
We're talking with Philip Mahler. He's a commissioner at the Federal Energy Regulation Commission here at the AFSEA Bethesda Energy and the Environment IT Day. Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that that FERC is running into a jurisdictional battle or dispute or conflict with state and local electricity regulators. How does that work?
Well, we have to, right now, state regulators or in the district, the district regulators are the ones that regulate the distribution, the retail side of the electric rates you pay. We, however, at the federal level, are the wholesale regulators. And the smart grid interoperability standards can affect the retail side of things. In fact, they likely will. And so we have to be cognizant that we are not overly dictating how state regulators do their job. And yet the statute tells us that we are supposed to adopt these standards. So we have to do what Congress tells us to do, but we have to be careful in how we do it.
Now, there's also a big instinct in the United States for NIMBY, not in my backyard. And it's very hard for traditional power lines to get constructed, just like cell towers. People don't want to see them. The smart grid is going to be snaking a lot of new wires, as I understand it, throughout the United States. Is FERC going to have a role in making sure that the NIMBY instinct kind of gets overridden so that this overarching job can get built?
I don't think that'll be too much of an issue, because largely this is informational capability that for the, we feel most part is there, and it certainly won't be regulated by us. But there's often either a fiber line going into your home or your neighborhood now, either through your telecom company or cable company. And we're really talking about the smart grid. Instead of power and information going one way, this has the opportunity for information to come go both ways. And we feel that there's enough, for the most part, informational, technological infrastructure in place now.
So right now, when, say, the local utility measures your air conditioner or your building, they get the information from your site to them, and then they kind of mail you back the information when they've added it up at the end of the month. This would be real-time both ways.
Well, more than that, right now, in many cases, it's completely one way. And they go out and read your meter, but they don't know whether it's been your refrigerator or your heater or your flat-screen TV that's been consuming the energy. And they also, in many cases, don't know when you consumed it. But this has the potential of going two-way to give consumers more power to actually manage their consumption and lower their bills.
So this is really turning the grid into the internet, in effect.
It is. And the internet is one of the aspects of, in these interoperability standards, do you go with an internet-based system or another type of system? Our view, at least my view, as a commissioner, is that our ultimate goal in adopting these standards has to be security of the grid. We cannot put a grid out there that's vulnerable to cyber attack, because if the last thing we need is a bunch of houses to be hacked out of service. So that's going to be an overriding concern when we adopt these standards from this commissioner's perspective.
So FERC now regulates cybersecurity or reliability of electricity at the bulk level. Sounds like you're going to be involved in the reliability question at the retail level, too, at some
point. Tangentially, we are. That's correct. And that's where some of the tension could come in with our state colleagues.
Although it seems unlikely that China, for example, that gets cited a lot in news stories, would, you know, hack into the United States. They need our economy to work well so that we can pay back our debt and buy all their stuff. So I wonder if we really should be worrying about cybersecurity from a Chinese standpoint. Maybe it's more something domestic we have to worry about.
Well, we should be worrying about it from every perspective. And it's one thing to think about things now, but a potential threat in the future could. And there has been evidence of nation states looking for vulnerabilities in our grid. That's publicly public information. So we have to keep cybersecurity, international and domestic, as something, again, that is very high, if not the highest, on our list of priorities as we adopt these standards.